This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us...
Pele Upu e Tuale.
Iola Hegarty.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, do I call you Pele Upu?
Yes.
Okay, now, Pele Upu, you are from Samoa, and you were telling us a bit about your childhood, but you came to New Zealand when you were quite young.
About 15, 16.
About 16, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was just after the Second World War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still had some leftovers issues, you know. There's still some people still here where the soldiers used to live, because they raided the houses that belonged to the villagers. And then it's in the forest, they will build tent for the soldiers to stay there. But in the morning they get their own breakfast, and then probably just before lunch, there'll be a big truck that brought the food cooked from the centre and nearer to town where the soldiers camped there. And they have people that cook their meals properly and then distribute it out at the hour.
So there are a lot of soldiers scattered around the villages?
Yes.
Okay. Why was that? Is that to defend them if the island was invaded?
Well, some of the soldiers are made as chefs, to cook. And remember that they don't know how to peel the bananas, so they have some of the island to peel the bananas, taros.
They didn't know how to peel bananas.
They didn't know how to peel bananas.
So are these soldiers?
Soldiers? No. Oh, well, yes, they do have some, remembering around the world that people travel, and there's always a soldier from Tonga or from New Guinea or, you know. But they use them for doing things like that, like the hangi.
Cooking
in a, they like to change their diet, you know. People that come and offer their service, it's not much, probably $2 a month. They're quite happy. They get a meal there too when they go into it. But not only that, learning the knowledge of being able to cook a meal in a proper way.
So were there several Samoans who thought, or they will go and work with the soldiers and see what they can do?
We had my grandmother's house, and the captain of this lot asked my father, can they use the house for his soldiers and for them? And father said, we had a very big other Samoan house at the back, middle of the section, and it's quite a big one. So mum and dad talk, and that's what they did. Let them, the soldiers, have it. Sometimes dad can cook quite well, and then he will talk to the soldiers. But a lot of time they have to keep their diet for safety reasons. But they quite like it. Simple things, but dad will be sitting there talking. He made quite a good friends with the captain, the next down in charge, and if they won something, he will go to town and get it, and he'll come home, and the soldiers will help him cook because they've got open fires, like picnic fire and that too. So when they left, one of my father's friends, he had an 18-year-old daughter, and that morning he was very, very sad because he came and told my father that his house was bombed and it killed his 18-year-old daughter, because I had a sister Her name was Lisipa. He said it's exactly the same age as his daughter. And he always talked to her, but unfortunately, when that happened, the house got bombed.
Bombed by the Japanese?
Yeah.
But you were about 6 or 7 when the soldiers came during at the start of the war. So, did you interact much with the soldiers at all?
No,
stayed right away.
No, the thing is that. My mother always warned us, be careful, you don't know who you're talking to and what you're doing. So it's, we have to be kept from touching, you know, like the guns or sort of thing is dangerous, that we could, under a bridge, some girls went there for a swim. And they found some bomb there,
grenades.
Yeah, grenade. Yeah. And then they play with it, and it went off, and it killed one of the girls, and injured one. So they start stopping the island people getting under the bridge, touching things that where they, because they make their tent. And in those tents, they will keep all their equipment, all their gears, you know, and that sort of thing. But little boys always like to steal things and think that, you know, it's a toy. And there was a boy there that he amputated his knee because off under the bridge too.
Yeah.
Then they went and they were digging the sand and they hit the bomb was hitting under the air and amputated one off of his leg. It's quite a few things that happened. It happened the first time. It made the villagers realize that the danger that they're in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who we are.
Yeah.
When things like that happen, it does happen. Yeah.
So the war really had a big effect on people's lives there. So you couldn't go to school?
Or? There was a period that was doesn't seem to be any schooling at all. Everything was, we must be protected by our mother and father. You know, we must be there. And so, because that's, like I said, when a submarine was sighted and...
Oh, a Japanese submarine.
Yeah, submarine. Yes. And others start killing the others... cause of conversation or arguments or perhaps one tried to take the comp belong to someone else and they don't, but it's always things like that that do happen. But the minister, the pastor or the reverend on Sundays when in this worship, he will always remind the parents your responsibility are your children. Because they start letting them, you know, those soldiers will ask, can you go and get something for me? And, you know, and then get a dollar or whatever they in their pocket. And they start making the children think, oh, yeah, I can get it easily. But sooner or later, you know, they get into trouble.
So what was the attitude towards the soldiers? Were you pleased that they were there, or?
To stop the Japanese, it was good that they were able to sight it. They saw it.
They saw the submarine.
Saw the submarine, and then they started acting towards it. Because there were ship before, my mother said it was about 3, quite big, large ship. And then it came right into the wharf, and somehow she said that, you know, there were other boats as well that trying to come into the wharf, but
These were Japanese boats or Samoan boats?
Well, the first one I think, who was the New Zealand? It was
New Zealand. Oh, okay.
Yeah. New Zealand. Was looking it the New after, Zealand Army yeah. that mm. was there?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're happy when knowing that someone is coming to protect them.
Yeah. Mm.
But it doesn't always happen that way. Like I said, that's quite a few children got amputated arm or leg because they get where the things are. And those, whoever took those bombs and buried under the river bridge, they probably, they think, well, from the other source that probably they buried those there to do some harm to, it must be another soldier that was there. It wasn't. It's not the New Zealand one. Why would they bury there? But sometimes they do that sort of thing so that they can, attack each other personally, two or three of them. Mm. But we went without danger. It was always danger there.
Yeah.
And that's why the pastor is reminded to remind the parents that your responsibility are your children. Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Make sure they are where you are.
Yeah.
Because, they start this, they sell, they make things like this.
Mm. And it will sell
They can make it so beautifully, coconut shell, and they make vase, and they to send it home. But because the market was open to sell, buy and sell and these things, they also warn the island people that because the men will get the shells from the sea and they have always a means of, putting them together for, we still can see some of them, just like a carver,
The bowl.
Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they'll use that to squeeze the carver, the island, and they will drink that, and sometimes they can drink that to an excessive, too much, and then they get killed by another person or they get get into fight.
Mm.
Oh, it's a lot of this.
So it seemed quite strange, all these foreigners there.
And misunderstanding is because they don't go to school. And then the Chinese start coming, living here. Remember the Chinese were there one time and a Negro were there one time.
Mm.
And the Negroes started looking after the copra, and they put them in bags and sell them and start transporting them to other country. You know, they use it for whatever they wanted. So, how can I put it? Extravagant in people's life, and then they wanted more than what they could afford or could wish for.
Yeah.
So it's always a danger of those people that, like I say, that they used to go and get the shells and then they make and they think the price of that thing will probably be just the value of $5, but there should be more than that. Who says who should be more than that? How long did it take you to go and get the shells and what else did you spend? Nothing much at all. So be satisfied for what you get. But, it's always people that want too much overact what they think it should be.
So after seeing that and seeing that, foreigners could be dangerous or all the things happening with the war, you left on your own to come to New Zealand as a teenager?
My two aunties, they Chinese girls. And their brother, the brother was born in Samoa, and at 2 years of age, the dad came and took the son to educate in Hong Kong.
Mm.
He was there until he was quite old, 27 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought back to Samoa, and he learned to dealing with shop business.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a shop in Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
And he started ordering the stuff from Hong Kong to like jewellery, anything that sell Singapore. And the girls were able to help there. They had good education. They can still deal with the palangi the way. And but there's always what you intend to be good, is always the bad side of it. Somebody asks for more, and or someone say, I was here first. And that's where people start fighting and start arguing, and the police get involved in it because they can't, you know. It's exactly what it's here when, you know, like the virus. It's always people think that they know what is right, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So why I left home is my two aunties, my father, and they got another brother and a sister, two brothers and another sister. And looking at business like, they thought that it would be better for some of us children to come over here and go to school here and learn how to, what we can do, see how we can help ourselves in the situation. Home, you have to work hard to get what you know. You have to go and get all 500 coconuts to make 3 bags of coconut.
Gosh.
And if that bag is only about $35 each, what would you get out of those 3 bags of coconut?
Mm.
So they start debating and wanting, and from my father's side was me, and my other sister was already working in the shop. And the other brother, it was his 4 sons. And the sister was 3 or 4 of them. And I said to my father, Dad, I don't want to go, please. And he got 4 taxis with all my school friends. And this was the most heartbreaking. I said, send my younger sister, but she's tough. We were young. She can climb a 50-foot tree. Get the coconut down. I can't even get up half of it, and I'm sliding down like a lizard that got no legs. So, and my father said, it's not fair for me to send your younger sister because you're the old one. And it comes out to be you're the older one. You go. But I said, but no, Dad, I don't want, I want to stay with you. I really miss my father. It was hard coming here and thinking of him, that he could be having his tea, because I used to go and collect seashell oysters and things like that for his meals. And I really wanted to stay home and look after, but he said, he didn't even say goodbye to me on the wharf. I said to my sister, where's Mum? My mother just took off. My father, it was too hard for them to come and say goodbye. So my sister said to me, you go and look after yourself, be a good girl, and just keep writing to them, and we'll look after Mum and Dad. It was hard.
Was the idea that you would come to New Zealand and get some education and then go back to Samoa?
Yes, that was the idea. But, I got my education here. I wanted to be a nurse. But my auntie, rather I just go straight to work. And but I look at the education here. It was wonderful to be able to do your study and be a nurse. you know.
So did you study?
Injuries, I did. I was at Epsom Girls School. And I got stuck into the first aid at Red Cross. And, you know, I used to pay $100 for my courses and go and learn to, and I really love it. But now she decided it would be better for me to go straight to work. And, that had happened on my time. That's 1951 I came to New Zealand. And the ones that come first, they will rather you go straight to work and get the pay and send the money home. That was good. But what about you that haven't not finishing what you started off wanted to do? So, and when I look at the advantage of all that here in New Zealand, that I can work hard for 1 week and be able to save $100, and then I'll go and pay Red Cross and I start learning. Then they start sending me out to school with the other lady and go to school and teach first aid in schools. I used to go in and learn cooking, simple dishes, and Red Cross had the a good idea that teaching those 20, 30 years of age, you know, that they find a flat and live there, and then you teach those how to cook. They'll know how to cook themselves, and that will help. And I thought that was an opportunity that is the most wonderful opportunity in New Zealand of doing something like that.
Yeah.
You pay halfway through and you pay as you go along.
Yeah.
And I did all that and I went and teach what they call the Heart Foundation.
Oh, okay.
For St. John's.
Yeah. So you were teaching, you learnt some health things and then you were teaching it.
I've learned the skill, then they sent me out, they know that I was in.
So what about language? When you came, did you speak English?
I've learned English. I mean, I was speaking English in Samoa, not to the extent I do now.
Yeah.
But I did learn.
Okay.
I can understand.
That was just in the home, because if you weren't at school, so you learned
in
Samoa. In Samoa.
No, we had to go to school.
Oh, you had to school later.
Yeah. Like our village.
After the war.
Say like Levin. There's a school in Levin.
Yeah.
Then it comes to Waipakarao or whatever the next one. There's another school there. It all depends. And my sister was a teacher. She take all the students that want to be teachers. They sit them for an exam, and I think it's up to 18 years of age, different classes. Then they will put them together and then they will sit this exam. Then the examiners, there will be examiners. That's all their job, is examine. And they will mark the papers. And my twin sister was picked out to be a teacher. She went to the teacher training college. But my older sister, she became the one that she does go and visit teacher training schools and see that they keep up to the level where they want them. And whatever they need, they will discuss it with the committee and make it available for them to carry on there. It's the same thing with nursing. You have to sit, you have to get the minimum of 90 marks.
And this is all in Samoa, is it?
Or? In Samoa.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't get to that.
Sorry.
But then you, because you had a good education, you can speak English, then you can work in a shop serving in a counter. Or else you can be a secretary to the Prime Minister or any other job that is that you can manage to get your, but you must sit the exam. Nothing doing unless you have a, unless you pass what they,
But you missed all that because you came to New Zealand, didn't you? And you followed a different path. You got back to see your parents much?
Yeah, I tried to go every 3 years or one time when I married myself and I had my children. That was the longest period. But my father did come over to see me. And I remember I ran on the road. He just called out.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.